This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show anything you want. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. You hear this creeper at the WEF?
Where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Eh, that sounds absolutely horrific. Hi, Jesse. Do you consider China a friend or a foe? I clearly remember my brother conducting joint training exercises between the Marine Corps and China's Army several years back. They're opening a police station in New York City. I really hope that's not true. I don't know what the rhetoric coming from China. Are they an enemy? So, well, I have got bad news for you. Not only are they an enemy, they are an enemy who has openly declared their intention of knocking us off of number one. They've rayed it down. They're not quiet about this. They intend to dominate the world. They are also taking over as the number one trading partner of many countries in the world where we used to be the number one trading partner. They are the central hub for goods making. Also, they make virtually all of our pharmaceutical drugs. That's fantastic news. And they have so much of our manufacturing that we purposely sent to China because we're an insane, suicidal nation that tried to prop China up post-Mao. After Mao, we tried to prop them up under some misguided conception that they were going to be friends or friendly or something like that when they've never been friendly. They took all of our money, took all of our stuff, took all of our manufacturing, and now they have a gigantic spy network right here in the United States of America. They're on your kids' college campus teaching them to hate the country. They are in Hollywood changing movies around. They've bought off entire sports leagues. The NBA works for China now. Our National Basketball Association works for China now. They are bad news. Now, there are only, well, I shouldn't say only, there are two bits of good news in this whole thing. China, yes, we buy tons of things from China. Tons and tons and tons of things from China. And that's bad. We're giving them a bunch of our money. It's bad. But China needs us to keep buying those things. China is also, remember, they've switched away from being full-blown communists to more of a managed economy kind of communist. But whatever level of management you have in an economy, that doesn't work. I mean, remember, economies need to be not managed at all. That's what makes them great. People talk all the time about Trump's economy and Trump's economy and Trump's economy and how great Trump's economy was. Well, what they miss is how he did it. Why was Trump's economy so big? What was it? Was it the tax cuts? No, that helped a little bit. It's fine. Trump got in office and began slashing regulations. He just deregulated. And the second you start deregulating an economy, it just starts to explode. That was the miracle of Trump's economy, is what he did with deregulation, to his credit, right? China. What, Chris? Anyway, China, they're still trying to manage theirs. And now I find this fascinating, but you can go online if you want to do an online search for it. They're fascinating to watch. China has, you've heard of a ghost town. What do you picture when you picture a ghost town? 5-6 buildings along the street. It's been empty. A little tumbleweed run, blowing down a dusty road. Everyone pictures the same thing when it comes to a ghost town. You can look this up if you don't believe me. It's real. China has ghost cities, mega cities, where they've tried to manage so much of their country that they will build, I mean, they'll build New York Cities the size of New York City. They'll build New York City just from nothing, for nothing. I mean apartment buildings and huge skyscrapers, office buildings, and they'll never be occupied. Huge cities that they've tried to manage and then couldn't manage to get people in there. And so you'll see these cities. It's actually really cool when you look them up. Nature has re-encroached on some of them. Some of them have been demolitioned. But that's a long way of saying China has done so much to try to manage their economy that China is economically in very deep trouble. And wrap your mind around this. This is more great news. They continue to lock down their own country horribly for COVID. They're taking the same tactic we took, which is we copied them, which is insane. But they continue these horrible lockdowns for COVID. You can't do that. So what does that mean? It gets so complicated, I don't know. They are our enemy, but we do need them, and they need us, but we want them to fall, but we don't want them to fall, because then we might fall. It's an ugly marriage. It's a really, really, really ugly marriage. Jesse, do you please tell the story of how you decided your closing words for That's All on your radio show? You ever see the movie Patton? You ever seen the movie Patton? If you haven't ever seen the movie Patton, it's worth watching. But he gives this great speech. It's been a while since I've seen it. I think it's the opening of the movie. Patton comes out. He walks out on stage and gives this great speech, this firing up speech. Ah, we're going to go cut out their living guts. He's talking to his soldiers about going to kill the Germans. And when he's done with it, he signs off with this great, just flippant, that's all. And I always loved it so much, I decided to copy it for the show. So there, I stole it from Patton. Jesse, you know you're going to hell. See you. I'll see you there. I am sure there will be a lot of us there who laughed uncontrollably at that. We'll have a party. Without her singing, of course. And the subject was the trans woman singing Whitney Houston. I don't understand why you thought that was funny. I certainly didn't play that so you could laugh. I hope you weren't laughing at beautiful music.
Brazilian deaf mute trans woman sings Whitney Houston. I will always love you.
Gosh, that's beautiful. Dear Shogun Oracle, my family's turned to host Thanksgiving for everyone, and I've always hated the Thanksgiving menu. Minutes ago, I hired a food truck to show up and provide the meal. How much are food trucks, Chris? They can't be that much money. You know, I'm serious. To hire them, they can't be that much money. In my neighborhood, neighbors will regularly do this all the time. They'll get a bunch of the neighbors together and everyone pitches in some money and they get a food truck out there. I wonder if you can get them out there just for the cost of what, you know, just, hey, we'll make sure we spend $100 on food or something. But anyway, the guy goes on to say, minutes ago, I hired a food truck to show up and provide the meal. It's known for burritos, but adds good options for the kids and can do a burger or cheesesteak in a pinch. Is a complete shunning of tradition like this, years upon years of people shoving horrible food down their gullets, something that should be applauded or jeered? I have the ultimate wishy-washy answer on this. And this is, let me explain. It's widely known that I'm anti-turkey at Thanksgiving. And my justification is widely known as well. Turkey sucks. Now, you're probably yelling right now. Everyone yells at me when I say that. You've never had my pappy's deep-fried turkey. You've never had Grammy's turkey, Jesse. I've never... Okay. You eat out at restaurants throughout the year, do you not? You do. At some point in time, maybe you don't eat out often, but you do go sit down in restaurants. You do. And what do you get when you get a restaurant? You get options. That's what makes them so great. That's why I love eating out. Oh, you want a cheeseburger? Fine. I'm more in the mood for spaghetti. Oh, yes, you can get the chicken nuggies. You're right, right? Everyone gets to sit down, and instead of eat the same thing, everyone gets to order whatever they want. So you eat out at a restaurant. How many times have you ordered the turkey? You're telling me turkey's great? Okay, all right, I'll take you at your word. You love turkey. Turkey's great. why don't you order turkey the other 364 days a year? I'll tell you what. I had pizza. We had pizza last night. Ordered some pizza for me and Chris and Michael. Sat down and ate pizza. I might have pizza again today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the next day too. Maybe all those days. Why? Because I love pizza. Because I love it, I eat it more than once a year. Why do you eat turkey every Thanksgiving? Now, the reason I say I'm wishy-washy on this is I do understand the tradition aspect of it, and I have more respect for that than I used to. Let me explain why I actually think there's a real family aspect to this. I'll explain in a second. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Someone has a problem with Oz and how Oz campaigned. The Pennsylvanians, we've had so many emails from Pennsylvanians in the past week who are so sore that now they have Senator Cucumber, and I genuinely feel for you. That sucks. So we'll get to that in a second. I want to finish this. The guy hired a food truck for Thanksgiving. I don't know that I would go food truck route. I have a couple of different aspects I'm going to go with this. One, I do not eat turkey at Thanksgiving. I just explained why. Thanksgiving is supposed to be for something special. That's the way I've always looked at it. I want it to be I want my mouth to water. I want everyone's mouth to water when they sit down because it's special. It's something you don't normally spend that kind of money on. It's an expensive meal. I want something special. I shouldn't say always, but for a long time, what we've been doing is we go get a cut of beef tenderloin for Thanksgiving. And then I have this great way that I marinate a tenderloin. I'm not going to go into it because if there's one thing you learn, it's that anytime you mention how you cook meat, you're going to catch all kinds of flack from guys who cook it a different way. We dudes are awesome. We're possessive about that. Anyway, we make a tenderloin. And then some kind of the wife, she makes the best fettuccine Alfredo in the history of mankind. And I'm a fettuccine Alfredo freak. So we'll have like a tenderloin and fettuccine Alfredo and things like that. Special things that, I mean, a tenderloin's expensive. It's more money than we would spend at other points in time in the year. And so because that's special and everyone in the family loves it, that's what we do. But back to you and your turkey and that despicable green bean casserole and everything. No, Chris, don't start. Don't start. Wait, do Jews celebrate Thanksgiving, Chris? Why wouldn't you? I don't know all the traditions. I know it's an American holiday. I didn't know. Do you guys have schnitzel or something? What do you guys? Is it turkey? You eat turkey? Oh. Chris, I'm finding out about other cultures, okay? You don't have to talk down to me like this. Anyway, quit. Back to your turkey and things like that. I have changed my tune on a couple things in recent years as the nation has crumbled and as I become more and more aware of the state of the planet and the state of our country. I used to be a big get out of the house when you're 18 thing for my kids. I'll tell you, I've been that for my entire life. That was really how I was raised. When you're 18, gone, fly the nest, little birdie, get gone. And that's what I did. That's what I did. My sister did. Now, that was no hardship for us. That's how we were raised. We took off. We're independent people. We're gone. Gone. And as the country has gotten worse and worse and worse, I have grown more and more focused on family and community, right? Not just my neighborhood, my sons, keeping them closer. My mom, actually, I had a conversation with my mom the other day. And it was, she said something jokingly. She said something, she was kidding. My dad's fine. By the grace of God, he's fine. She said, look, if we ever lose your father, if your father goes before me, just put me in a nice home. And I said, no, Mom, you're coming to my home. You're coming to my home. Now, I probably wouldn't have said that a couple years ago. But as I watch everything crumble around me, I'll tell you, I've talked to my sons, both of them, and I said, look, you're never going to be some lazy piece of crap freeloader in my house, and you're certainly not going to be living at home when you're 30, but you no longer have to leave right when you're 18. If you want to go, if you're going to go to a trade school, maybe you want to go to a community college here, build up credits, get a job, earn a living, You can stay here. As the world has gotten more and more nuts and evil, I'm growing more insular with my family, with neighbors too. Like I'm a big believer in community. That's why I talk so much about legal and local and community, because we're going to need community with each other, a place we can physically be where family is and like-minded people are. What's this have to do with Thanksgiving? Back to the tradition. I'm not going to eat turkey. I'm a big break tradition when tradition is bad thing. But at the same time, I think if you're gathering together with aunts and uncles and grandpas and cousins for a big Thanksgiving turkey and mashed potatoes, even though I hate both those things, and that's what you've always done, I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a cool tradition. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you your meal was good. Your meal sucks. All right, and if I had to go eat that meal, which I had to a bunch when I was a kid, I'll eat a cheeseburger on the way there so I don't have to eat it. What, Chris? Chris, that's right. Chris said the tradition is family. The meal is secondary. But if that's your family tradition, you know, grandpa cuts the turkey and stuff like that, I think that's awesome. I've always had this, I shouldn't say always. In recent years, I've had this dream of, and who knows, you know, you don't know the plans God has for you. I've had this dream of being that grandpa one day with my sons and their wives and then their kids, and how we live fairly close to each other, not together, but close to each other. And we regularly gather, and I get to hang out with my grandkids and stuff like that. I've had that. I've grown much more that way. And that's not how I was raised, and that's not how I've been my whole life. The Kellys, we moved all over the country. We take big chances, go on big. My sister does the same stuff I do. I mean, you think I'm crazy. My sister will just pack up. I'm moving to Ohio. There's a school back there I want to go to. Wait, what? What are you talking about? I'm going to Portland. I'm going to be a lawyer. Just went through law school. Just the same stuff. That's how we were raised. All right. That's enough for Thanksgiving talk. Someone has a real axe to grind with Doc Oz. We'll talk about that. Someone wants to talk about the death penalty. Did you see that guy who tried to murder a bunch of sheriff's deputies in L.A.? We'll talk real briefly about that. Some other things. Liz Cheney squirming in her chair. Before we get to those things, remember, we are going to Israel. The Jesse Kelly Show family, we are all checking out for 10 days in July, and we're going to Israel. You left behind, your people left behind here, you have to do without me for 10 days. Because we're going, well, maybe 11, I don't know how the travel works over there, but you people probably have your own separate time zone or something, right, Chris? Controlling the weather. No, I'm kidding, Chris. Anyway, Chris is going, wife's going, kids going, Michael's going. A bunch of the Jesse Kelly Show family is going. If you want to join us for a tour through the Holy Land, you're welcome to. You have to go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. This is a professional tour. I found out from the Christian Expedition boys that the tour guides over there, you know, you don't just read a book and go take a class real quick and then you become a tour guide. They train their tour guides for 6 years. Yeah, 6 years, Chris. They're supposed to be, they know all. We're just going to geek out on history and Nazareth and Jericho and all these stuff together, okay? ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse if you want to go. They are booking up, so sign up if you want to go. Or call 877-234-3002. Oz, did he run a bad campaign? Death penalty. Restaurant tipping. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Halfway done already. Man, are we halfway done, Chris? That sucks on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't worry, that means, look, let's be glasses half full people. That means we still have half a show to go. You hear Liz Cheney? You gotta love it. Remember this. The Ray Epps saga. Ray Epps, we played for you the audio 1,000 times before. I'm not going to bother with it because some of the audio is bad. But Ray Epps, January 6th, on camera multiple times telling people, we're going into the Capitol. Let's go into the Capitol. He's wearing his Trump hat on, acting like a Trump fan. At some point, Trump fans are yelling at him, calling him a Fed. They start chanting, Fed, Fed, Fed. It doesn't stop him. He keeps going. He's on. This is all on camera. Go into the Capitol. Go into the Capitol. Then he's on camera right by the barricades, and he leans down and he whispers in some guy's ear. And then the guy starts charging the barricades, and Ray Epps kind of slinks away. And there are all these January 6th people who didn't do near that, and they're still having, they've all been arrested and had the book thrown at them. But Ray Epps isn't even a person in question right now. Huh. No warrant for his arrest. No indication at all he's a suspect. That's so weird. And I do love every time these people are asked about them. Here's Liz Cheney.
The fact of the matter is we have another person on camera doing exactly that. His name is Ray Epps, and it's not a conspiracy theory. That's not a conspiracy theorist. We have an actual insurrectionist on tape, and yet he's escaped prosecution. So let me just ask you right here, do you demand the prosecution of Ray Epps? He's an actual insurrectionist on tape. Do you demand his prosecution?
You know, let me answer the question, because I think there's some confusion. Confusion about the role of Congress and confusion about who makes decisions about prosecutions. I don't think anybody has denied that that videotape exists. I've seen the videotape. I've seen thousands of people saying things like, let's go into the Capitol. You've seen trials of a number of people who did go into the Capitol. You've seen convictions of thousands of them. So I think the question is, you know, whether or not you understand who makes prosecution decisions. Now, in terms of what I've seen, Mr. Epps, there are conspiracy theories around the role that he was playing that day. People are
conspiracy theories. That's okay. So remember something in this day and age when you live. This is very similar. Now, it's not hyperbole to say this. You live in a country now that is as corrupt and dishonest as the Communist Soviet Union was. And the citizens of the Communist Soviet Union, they knew whatever they were told on their radio or TV, they always knew the opposite was true. That level of propaganda doesn't work on people. They just knew the opposite was true. If the Soviets would say, and they would regularly say this, they'd come on TV and they'd say, we've had a record harvest this year. Soviet citizens automatically knew, oh man, it must be a bad harvest this year. We better stock things up. You can now take this to the bank in America. Whenever the system starts calling something a conspiracy theory, that's what's actually true. Every single time, without exception. Every time they have called something a conspiracy theory in the last 5-6 years, that's what's been true. So Liz Cheney says this is a conspiracy theory. You can now take it to the bank. That's a fact.
Pushing this notion that somehow he was doing what he was doing because the federal government was telling him to. That's not true. There's no evidence of that. And the Justice Department and the committee have both said that.
Okay, so now we know it is true.
That clearly. But I would say that if you're so concerned about violent acts at the Capitol on the 6th and about insurrection, it is really worth looking at the transcripts of some of these hearings and looking at what the judges have said. Nobody should use violence to attempt to overturn the government.
Never an answer. 2 minutes, never an answer. Conspiracy theory. Take it to the bank. From now on, every single time you see the media calling something a conspiracy theory, you know that that is actually the truth. Every single time. Dear Pink Flower, I listen to a lot of talk radio, a lot. And I could count on one hand the amount of times Doc Oz did an interview coming up to the midterm election. Whereas people like Tiffany Smiley, who I love but clearly didn't stand a chance, did countless shows. What gives? I thought it was one of the most important races out there. But all we heard about was how bad Fetterman is. No interviews or radio time for Oz and what he's hoping to accomplish. Not gonna lie, this feels like it was losing a battle on purpose. Well, first, let me explain this when it comes to... I'll speak to me first. I like to mostly focus on myself, Chris. Let me speak to me first. I don't have a lot of candidates on my show, period. or politicians on my... Well, I don't have guests that often at all, let alone politicians and candidates. Now, I have, but I don't do it a lot, and I need to explain my reasoning for it. I feel like I owe you that. I don't have a lot of politicians on my show because I know I don't have an important job, okay? I talk into the microphone. I don't have an important job. You have an important job. My job's not important. My job, I consider my job to be, this is why I focus every single day for 3 hours. When I sit down and do this show, I consider my job to be making your day a little bit better. That's it. I just want to make your day a little bit better. Whether we learn something together, whether we laugh or shoot, cry sometimes, whatever. I want to make your day a little bit better, a little bit more fulfilled than it would have been, right? So every single segment of my show, I take pride in it. That's why I don't have many guests and things like that on there. What if I only have you for 15 minutes? What if you just got off a double shift and you're bone tired and you're driving home and you hit a little bit of traffic and it just friggin' sucks and you've got 15 minutes and you've got the Jesse Kelly show on. Now, what if I have a politician on the show that doesn't say anything of consequence? Because they very rarely do. They speak in safe political terms that aren't going to get them in trouble. You had a long freaking day, and you got 15 minutes, and you got to sit and listen to Congressman Jerkwater give the standard Republican talking points? Barf. I won't do that to you. I don't want to do that to you. And so let's go to candidates. I believe in winning races. I get involved in races. I will travel to places so we can win races, ones I truly care about and truly believe in. I rarely have candidates on because when I have a candidate on, it's someone I believe in and I'm going to have them ask you for money. I don't take that lightly. Your money matters. So I'm not going to have a candidate on every show. I'm not going to have a candidate on every friggin' month because I don't even believe in that many of them. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Am I going to get someone like Joe Kent on the show, Eli Crane on the show and ask you to help them? Yes, because I believe in those people. I'm not going to have a bunch of people on. So I need to clarify, if you're talking about me having Oz on, I would never have had Dr. Oz on this show. I would rather we had him over Senator Cucumber, but Dr. Oz is not inspiring anybody. Dr. Oz did TV shows about transitioning kids, trans kids. That guy's never going to get airtime on my show. And I'm not going to make you suffer through that, and I'm certainly not going to allow that guy to fundraise on my show. Absolutely not. No, go pound sand. As for why he didn't do others, I don't know. I have not heard very much good about the campaign Oz ran, but I'm a bit familiar with Pennsylvania. As you know, I was born in Ohio, right on the Ohio River. Most of my family on my grandpa's side, on my mom's side, they're Amish in Pennsylvania, so we were always over there. We'd go to Pittsburgh sometimes if we wanted to go out to eat, or we'd go over to Amish country and hang out with the Amish people. So I know Pennsylvania well. Oz doesn't seem like Pennsylvania to me. He never did. Not at all. All right. Oz seems low T. What, Chris? What? Oz, you know what he needed before he ran for office in Pennsylvania, Chris? He needed at least 90 days with a male vitality stack with Chalk. Think about the different campaign Oz would have run with a 20% increase in his testosterone in 90 days. Not with all the pharmaceutical filth he always pushes, but with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Think of the energy he would have had on the campaign trail. I mean, honestly, maybe Senator Cucumber, if we'd given him a male vitality stack, maybe he could complete sentences. That would have been wild. That would have been crazy. You, however, you do need a male vitality stack, fellas. Even if you don't need one, you want one, trust me. 20% increase in your testosterone with natural stuff in 90 days? Ladies, you want to feel more energy? I think I've lost 15 pounds since I started this stuff, and I didn't have 15 actually to lose. I'm just move around so much more now. It's wonderful. Go to choq.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off a subscription. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, all right? All right, we're going to talk briefly about this guy who ran over these sheriff's recruits and then tipping and death penalty stuff and so much more. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't you worry, we still have more than an hour left. I'm still laughing about Michelle Obama.
As black women, we deal with it. The whole thing about, do you show up with your natural hair? You know, break, y'all. You know, but you know, as First Lady, I did not wear braids. The first black.
Oh, gosh, that woman's tiresome. Nicholas Joseph Gutierrez, suspect accused of mowing down 25 L.A. sheriff's recruits on a morning run, released from jail. He is charged with attempted murder of a peace officer. I would not recommend you look at the video. The recruits were running in formation and just mowed them down. Say a prayer for them, by the way. He's already out of jail. As we speak right now, he's playing Xbox somewhere, eating a pizza. But what do you want me to say? LA just sent another Democrat back there as mayor. What do you want me to say? I've gotten to the point where it clearly has to get to collapse level bad before people will change their voting habits. That's obviously the case. And look, New York did the same thing too when they elected Hochul. It's obvious if this midterm, without anyone on the presidential ticket to drive people to the polls, this was our chance. So for these blue areas that went blue again, enjoy it. Get what you voted for. Mr. Menu Whisperer, do you tip for takeout orders at the restaurant? Should I feel guilty for not tipping? Thanks for all you do. Keep up the good fight. Okay, I have historically struggled with this. Now, I'll tell you, I believe in tipping, and I believe in tipping well. I always have. I believe if you go out, you should tip well. Those waitresses work hard, right? The waiters work hard, for sure. I never knew what I should do about tipping for takeout orders. So it was one of those things, sometimes I would do it, sometimes I didn't do it. And then since I moved to Houston, I've gotten to know a few guys who are in the restaurant businesses down here. I mean, they just run like a little family diner and whatnot. And they explained to me, because we had this talk one day, they explained to me that waitresses who work at takeout actually oftentimes have to work harder. They have to work harder than the waitress who just works a table, because you have to get everything to go, everything packaged up to go. And he said, not only do they work harder, they get less in tips simply because people don't understand they work harder and people don't tip. Everyone knows you're supposed to tip the waitress something, but people genuinely stiff the takeout waitress. The takeout waitress busts her butt too. So the answer to your question is no, you don't have to feel guilty, but yeah, you need to start tipping the takeout waitress. And let me speak to people who may be doing well or doing okay right now. You know you should be banking some extra money now if you're doing well. Remember, when times are good, times might not be good forever. We might be going into some real lean years in this country. Start stashing away as much money as you possibly can. That said, going into down times, like we're clearly heading into here, try to increase your generosity. Throw an extra buck on that tip. So remember, if you can, I'm not saying, look, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're hurting for money. I'm not spending your money for you. But if you can, if you're doing fine, if you can, now's the time to throw in an extra five if you can every now and then. Because so many people are having to work. I get all these emails and it's hard. They're having to work extra jobs. Jesse, I've had to add extra hours. I don't get as much time with my son. Jesse, I have to do this, I have to do that. Just trying to pay the bills to cover for the inflation costs out there. So if you're in a place where you're doing well, try to take the little things, taking care of others, it's a good time to do that. Dr. Jesse, like you, I waffle on the death penalty from time to time. I question it, then some terrible news story come out, and I quickly start thinking it's not used enough. If you were emperor, would you allow capital punishment for people who are found guilty of committing voter fraud at a mass level? Thanks for being entertaining and awesome. It's Ben is his name. Capital punishment is one of those things I've always struggled on a lot. I one day will be against it because I'll hear about some poor schlub, some innocent guy who gets executed, and they find out the next day that DNA evidence he was innocent. And I believe our government is so corrupt, I don't know that they should have the authority to kill people. And then the next day I'll wake up and hear some story about some couple. I just saw one about them torturing their toddler son to death. And I think, can we just draw and quarter them right there? I'll do it. Like, I'll happily do it. If you want someone to come do it, I'll do it. So I do. I go back and forth on it. I've never landed on one way I like or another. I will say this when it comes to capital punishment. If I ever am Dictator Jesse of the Republic of Jesse, when the country breaks up and I take over the new place, I actually do believe in capital punishment just for government people, for people who work in government and public officials. I do. I think our justice system is so upside down in this country that a gangbanger will get sent to prison for 30, 40 years. And yet politicians never get sent to prison for 30 or 40 years. I'm not cheering for the gangbanger, but your politicians and public officials, they should fear more severe punishment than the regular public. In a society that wants to exist, that's what would happen. If you're, the CDC. The CDC out there, they were flat out evil and still are evil during COVID. Misleading people, just telling people wrong things over and over and over again. The people responsible for that, they should never get out of prison ever again. That's not a small thing. Oh, whoops, we screwed up. No. They should be right now lawyering up and quaking in their boots that they will never see the light of day again. The most severe punishments in your society should be for people in government. A just society, that's how it would be. But we don't have that here, and it makes me sick. Honestly, it really does. All right. Democrat-run Philly. Gas station carjackings are up over 400%. Have you seen these things now? That's a little high. The condition of these cities, man. If you have a loved one who lives in one of these big cities, have you put a hero gun in their hands yet? At the gas station, it matters. Keep it on you. At home, it matters. Ah, she's just walking to class. Have her keep it in her backpack, in her purse. Oh, no, I'm sure my son's okay. He's a big guy. Have him get a hero gun and keep it on him. Keep it on him. Keep it on him, please. It's a non-lethal gun. Shoots pepper balls 100 miles per hour. When those hit, that hurts bad enough. And then the real pain starts as this chemical pepper cloud engulfs you, puts you on the ground. But they're not going to die. So even your daughter, oh, Daddy, I don't like guns. Fine, sweetie. Shoot him anyway. He'll be fine in a little while. You shoot him and you get away. Does not require a concealed carry permit either. It's got a laser sight. All she has to do is point and squeeze. Your mom needs one. People need these things. Go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount, okay? Hero2020.com. Code Jesse. State restrictions may apply. Oh, man, we still have a whole other hour on the show. Someone wants to know if there's hope. More Thanksgiving talk. Trump was talking about Ivanka. Someone has questions about that. Could Carrie Lake still be a VP? All that and so much more. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.